Can you imagine how beautiful those you forgive will look to you? In no fantasy have you ever seen anything so lovely. Nothing you see here, sleeping or waking, comes near to such loveliness. And nothing will you value like unto this, nor hold so dear. Nothing that you remember that made your heart sing with joy has ever brought you even a little part of the happiness this sight will bring you. For you will see the Son of God. All right, what Jesus is basically saying here, you have no way of understanding what this would be like. Whatever you could think of here as being happiness or joy or peace is but an infinitesimal part of what that would be like here. Why? Because there is no self. There is no separation. There is only the love of God, and you are a part of it. It is not something that is outside of you. It is not something that you feel one day and not the other day. It's not something you feel when you're with a certain person or not with another person. It's something that is you. And so there's nothing in this world that can come even close to that. You will behold the beauty the Holy Spirit loves to look upon and which he thanks the Father for. He was created to see this for you until you learned to see it for yourself. And all his teaching leads to seeing it and giving thanks with him. Once you see it, the Holy Spirit's function is gone. His purpose is gone. Without a purpose, there is nothing. The Holy Spirit is a thought, and it's a thought that has a purpose. The purpose is to remind us of what we have forgotten. Once we remember, then we don't need a Holy Spirit. There is no Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says at the end of the clarification of terms that the Holy Spirit is an illusion. He's not his form. And at the end, he disappears into the formlessness of God. His function is over. This loveliness is not a fantasy. It is the real world, bright and clean and new, with everything sparkling under the open sun. All right, now, obviously, Jesus is using symbols here, and he's using symbols that mean something to us. You know, we resonate to words like open sun and birds chirping and streams babbling, etc. But these are just symbols. He is not talking about the real world as a place. It should be very obvious from what we have or do not have on the board that we're not talking about a place. But he's talking about it to us who believe there's a world and who believe that we are creatures in this world, and therefore he uses symbols that represent happiness and love and peace to us. Nothing is hidden here, for everything has been forgiven and there are no fantasies to hide the truth. The entire ladder of the ego was built on things being hidden, as we've seen. And one fantasy after another, whose purpose was always to hide the truth. The bridge between that world and this is so little and easy to cross, and that bridge, again, as we saw in the other passage, would be forgiveness, that you could not believe it is the meeting place of worlds so different. Yet this little bridge is the strongest thing that touches on this world at all. This little step, so small it has escaped your notice, is a stride through time into eternity, beyond all ugliness into beauty that will enchant you and will never cease to cause you wonderment at its perfection. Right, in a section in the previous chapter called The Bridge to the Real World, Jesus says that when you cross this bridge into the real world, you will realize in glad astonishment that for all this, you gave up nothing. Well, you could see, we gave up nothing. There's nothing on the board. Right? As I mentioned the other day, when you're in the real world, you don't remember what happened before because nothing happened. Look, you don't see anything on the board. It's only when you're on the ladder of the self and believe you are here that you believe choosing the love of God over your individuality is losing something. That's the birth of the idea of sacrifice. I'm giving up something. I certainly am. I'm giving up myself, my individual special existence. It's only when I'm in the real world I realize I gave up nothing. There was nothing. I simply accept the truth that was always there. This step, which is the step to the real world, which we saw occurs automatically. In a sense, that's the third step of forgiveness. It occurs automatically when we let go of the barriers, which are the concepts of the self. This step, the smallest ever taken, is still the greatest accomplishment of all in God's plan of atonement. All else is learned. In other words, we really learn which really means the unlearning. We first learn the ego's concepts of the self, which is what gets us from individuality down to the bottom of the ladder, and then we need to unlearn it. In the teacher's manual, Jesus says, all true learning in this world is unlearning. The unlearning is simply going step by step up the ladder, correcting or undoing all the missteps. Right? But here Jesus is using learning, really meaning unlearning. All this, all else is learned. We had to learn how to forgive. Right? And that basically, we had to learn everything Jesus is teaching us in this course. All this is learned, but this, which is the step to the real world, is given, complete and wholly perfect. In other words, we're not the ones who do it. No one but him who planned salvation could complete it thus. The real world, in its loveliness, you learn to reach. The reaching is the undoing of that second rung. When I realize, after having forgiven the sin in you, I realize that there was no sin in me either. Fantasies are all undone, and these would be all the fantasies of the self, and all the awful things that go along with it. The special love fantasies, when you seek to cannibalize what is external to you, and the special hate fantasies when you seek to murder what is outside of you. Fantasies are all undone, and no one and nothing remain still bound by them. And by your own forgiveness, you are free to see. Now, this does not mean that other people may still not be choosing to be bound. Right? Obviously, Jesus is in the real world, but look at all the rest of us who are still seen to be bound to this world. But in his perception, we are unbound. Because in his perception, what the Course refers to as Christ's vision, there is no world and there is no separation, there's only a dream. Figures in a dream are bound or imprisoned by what happens in the dream by the mind of the dreamer. But Jesus has already demonstrated that the mind of the dreamer only contains love. Everything else was simply an illusion. Since there are no thoughts of sin in the mind, there could be no thoughts of sin or experiences of sin in the world. Yet what you see is only what you made with the blessing of your forgiveness on it. And with this final blessing of God's Son upon himself, the real perception, born of the new perspective he has learned, has served its purpose. All right, what he's talking about here really is the step just before the entry into the real world, that you suddenly look back on everything that you had made real, and you look on it differently. All right, so you look at what you've made, which is the ego's ladder of the self, and now you look at it differently. In other words, you realize it's all made up, and then it all disappears. The stars will disappear in light, and the sun that opened up the world to beauty will vanish. In other words, everything of the world will disappear. Perception will be meaningless when it has been perfected, for everything that has been used for learning will have no function. What has been used for learning was the ego's ladder. All of the special relationships in our life was now used for a different purpose. Again, purpose is everything. The ego's purpose for the world, bodies, and relationships was to keep us imprisoned in its thought system of individuality. The Holy Spirit uses those same relationships and bodies as a way of unlearning what the ego taught us. Nothing will ever change. No shifts, nor shadings, no differences, no variations that made perception possible will still occur. In other words, the world of change will be over. The perception of the real world will be so short that you will barely have time to thank God for it. And obviously, all these are symbols. In other words, once we enter the real world, there is no more time, there is no more space, there is only God. Now, Jesus talks about this here because we live in a world of time and space. So he talks about this within a temporal framework. Right? In reality, it isn't like that at all. For God will take the last step swiftly when you have reached the real world and have been made ready for him. The real world is attained simply by the complete forgiveness of the old. The world you see without forgiveness. That's the ego's ladder. That's the ladder of the self. With the self-concepts of sin and the self-concepts of victimization. The great transformer of perception, which is capitalized, meaning it's the Holy Spirit, will undertake with you the careful searching of the mind. All right, now what we're doing is we're going back to the steps up the ladder, what we did this morning already. He'll undertake with you the careful searching of the mind that made this world and uncover to you the seeming reasons for your making it. All right, this is purpose. That's why it is so essential that, number one, that you allow yourself to identify all your judgmental thoughts, your hateful thoughts, your fearful thoughts, your guilty thoughts, so you can understand why you chose those thoughts. You want to understand why you made the world you did, why you made up a mind that's so filled with judgment. You want to understand its purpose of protecting your individuality. Thoughts of anger, thoughts of judgment do not come unbidden. You bid them. You order those thoughts into your mind. You want them there because of the purpose that they serve. That's why it's so important that you understand what this ladder is, or any other image that you want to use. You want to understand the purpose of your thought system. In the light of the real reason that he brings, in the course, the word reason is always a synonym for the Holy Spirit's thinking or right-minded thinking. In the light of the real reason that he brings as you follow him. Actually, here, of course, I just realized it's a play on the word reason. Right? So that in English, the word reason has two different meanings. Right? So they're both are used here. In the light of the real reason that he brings, which also could be understood in light of the real purpose that he brings, which is to forgive, as you follow him, he will show you that there is no reason here at all. In other words, that this is a place of insanity. Each spot his reason touches grows alive with beauty, and what seemed ugly in the darkness of your lack of reason is suddenly released to loveliness. Again, this obviously presupposes that we first recognize the darkness. It can't be released to loveliness unless I look at it, which enables me then to look through it. Not even what the Son of God made in insanity could be without a hidden spark of beauty that gentleness could release. The hidden spark of beauty is the Holy Spirit's purpose of forgiveness. So despite all of the ugliness of our concepts of the self, whose purpose was to conceal the light of the Holy Spirit's truth, that light is still there, and that light is always present with us. Despite all of our insanity, there is a touch of beauty in sanity that is always there. All this beauty will rise to bless your sight as you look upon the world with forgiving eyes. For forgiveness literally transforms vision. Doesn't transform the world. Doesn't change the world. Doesn't help the world. Doesn't heal the world. There is no world. The problem is not that there's a world. The problem is that we have a need to perceive the world. That need is undone through forgiveness. There's no sin, there's no blame, there's no need to have a world to protect it. For forgiveness literally transforms vision and lets you see the real world reaching quietly and gently across chaos, which of course would be the ego's laws of chaos, would be the ego's thought system, removing all illusions that had twisted your perception and fixed it on the past. And those illusions, again, would be our belief in separation, individuality, and sin, guilt, and fear. The smallest leaf becomes a thing of wonder, and a blade of grass a sign of God's perfection. When you take a sense like that out of context, this certainly sounds as if Jesus is making the physical world real and making it beautiful. Right? But we could see, again, in the real world, there is no world. There's nothing here. Right? So he's using a symbol. And he's saying that from the real world, when you look upon the dream, you will only see expressions of love or calls for love. That's what he refers to as the judgment of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of chapter 12. Just let me add about that, that what's in that section is an explanation that you first begin by perception of attack. And then you ask for help that you perceive the attack as a call for love. You can't get to the call for love until you first recognize that you perceive the attack. So don't deny again your attacking or the judgmental thoughts. And then everything in this world will be seen as an expression of that love and that light that is in you. That's what this is talking about.